The word of God says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this morning, I want to share a few thoughts with you from the Word of the Lord. You've heard me say it many times over. I'm not very good at giving titles to messages, but once in a while I try. And today, the title of this message is going to be The Stops of Jesus. The Stops of Jesus. You possibly may have been expecting me to talk about Jesus was born in a manger and all the angels and all of that and the Christmas story. How many here don't know the Christmas story? Raise your hand. You don't know the Christmas story. You've never heard the Christmas story. Okay, so we've already known that. So let me not waste your time. Let's talk about real stuff. Amen? Jesus the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. And the message is the stops of Jesus. It's an important thing to look at the steps that Jesus took. Steps that he took in doing different things. But I think we lose a great deal when we do not consider where Jesus stopped and why he stopped. One of the first stops that we notice about the Lord is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting to read from about verse 41. Luke 2, verse 41. It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, and when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. He stopped. This is the first time we see this stop. He stops. But where is he stopping? He's stopping in the temple. And what is he doing in the temple? He is studying the Word of God. That tells me, child of God, that one of the first things that you and I must understand, because when you understand the stops of Jesus, you understand the character of Jesus. What is important to him? First stop we know about him is that he's there and he makes the decision to stay in the temple. He says, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They didn't know he had stopped. You know, I'm amazed at how people can lose God. How do you have the child of God and lose the child of God? But they did. They thought he was still with them, but he had stopped. To do what? The Bible tells us. It says in verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. These are highly educated people. Both hearing them, in other words, listening to them and asking them questions. He was hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Wait a minute. We don't hear. The Bible doesn't say anything about answers. It says he was listening to them and asking them questions. Where did the answers come from? The answers came from the questions that he was asking. Because as he was asking them questions, his wisdom was being demonstrated. But let's leave that aside. The key point here is that the Word of God had preeminence in his life. What role does the Word of God have in your life? How important is the Word of God? Jesus stopped to study the Word of God. In John chapter 9, beginning to read from verse 1 through 7, we see another stop. John 9, it says, "As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work.'" Let's stop there for a moment. Jesus sees a blind man, blind from his mother's womb, blind all of his life. And his disciples ask him, "Who sinned, this man or the parents? Who sinned?" It seems to me that we are so connected to finding reasons and faults. But Jesus says, forget about who sinned. He didn't sin. He didn't sin. But that the work of God may be made manifest in him, I must do the works of God while it is day. In other words, I must capture the opportunities that I have right now. He says, when the night comes, nobody's going to be able to work. I must do what I need to do right now. Rather than spend the time faulting this person or that person for whatever it is that happened, because we cannot explain it any other way, we want to fault somebody. Forget that. Fix the problem. That's the stop of Jesus. Jesus is in the business of fixing problems, not going about finding who to blame. Somebody listening yet? We always want to find the blame. It is this person's fault. It is that person's fault. God says, forget that. Do something about it. Fix the problem. Fix it. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Forget about that. And so he did. He stepped in there. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me. I was sent on an assignment, and my assignment is to destroy the works of the devil. Sometimes it's not about this person did this or that person did that. It's just the work of the devil. Do you understand? Sometimes it's just the devil. And God says, I'm here to fix it. And I want you to know today that God is not pointing a finger of accusation at you. He wants to fix the problem. Amen? He came to give sight, came to give sight to this blind man. And verse 5 says, listen, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse 6 says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came, what? Seeing. Jesus came to give sight to the blind, not to heap condemnation, but to bring about a resolution of problems. Amen? In John chapter 4, beginning to read from about verse 4, we read this story. It says, it starts out this way, and he must needs go through Samaria. He's on his way to Jerusalem, but the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. That was not necessary. That was not in his path, but he must needs go through to Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. First then, we know that he must needs go through Samaria. And he's going there because of a woman. He's going there because he had an assignment, something to do to address the situation of a woman that was seeking satisfaction everywhere else but in God. And he stops there, and the Bible says, being wearied with his journey. He is doing the will of God, isn't he? But the Bible says he is wearied. He is what? Tired. He's worn out. How can you be worn out when you're doing what God wants you to do? Notice it doesn't say anything about the disciples being wearied. He was, he that was doing the will of God, going in the direction that he should go through, is wearied. Now, what's the point? The point is, sometimes you get tired doing the right thing. Don't think that because you have resistance that you are not in the will of God. Sometimes being in the will of God invites resistance, invites tiredness. But he stops at a well. And the Bible says, and it was about the sixth hour. Wow. So he's sitting down there, and here comes this woman, and he says to her, give me water to drink. Give me a drink. And the woman says, think you're wrong, you're asking the wrong person. The woman of Samaria says unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Two counts. I'm a Samaritan, and secondly, I'm a woman, and you are talking to me. And you're asking me for a drink. He says, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. What is Jesus trying to do here? He's trying to break the backbone of prejudice, racism, religious mindsets. He says to her, though, Jesus answered and says, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you only knew the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked me, and I would have given thee living water. Wait. What do you mean? If I knew the gift of God, yeah. If you knew who's talking to you right now, you would be asking me, that is asking you for water, you would have been asking me for living water. The kind of water that will cause you not to ever thirst again. How does this make any sense? You're asking me for a drink. If you've got this water that causes you not to thirst, why are you asking me? Sometimes God sets you up for a greater purpose. Jesus can get any water he wants, whenever he wants. But why is he asking this woman? He's asking this woman to set up a particular principle. When God asks you for anything, anytime, give it to him because he's there. Well, better yet, because he's there, this is your opportunity to ask him for what you want. I don't know if you heard what I said. If he's asking you for something, ask him for something. When God is asking you for anything, that is your perfect opportunity to ask him. Because he's right there. He's talking to you right now. He's asking you for something. Now you ask him for what you want. That's your perfect opportunity. But this woman tried to be religious. And she was coming up with all of her theories. Jesus is so straightforward. And he addresses her the best way he could. His disciples come. And they, looking at him, they try to give him food. He says, I don't need anything right now. Sister asking each other, what's wrong? Why doesn't he want to eat? And by the way, who's this woman that he was talking with? But Jesus makes a statement, and the statement was this: that his meat was to do the will of his Father and to finish it. He stopped for this woman, who he's just going to ask in a moment. By the way, go get your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. Jesus says, you said right. You've been married 5 times. And the man that you're living with right now is not your husband. The woman, 5 times married. Now, imagine the time we're talking about. We're not talking about 1968. We're not talking about the year 2010. We're not talking about the year 2018. We're talking about 2,000 years before now, plus. How is it that this woman is living out the life of Tammy Wynette 2,000 years ago? How possible is this? But this is why Jesus came. This woman is trying to find an answer for her life, and she thinks it's in this man, in that man, in that man. And finally she says, I've tried 5 men, and I committed to them, and they did not solve the... Let me check this one out first. And that was not the answer. But Jesus was not there again to condemn her. He was there to locate her and to restore her. That's the business Jesus is about. My assignment is not to condemn people everywhere. My assignment, your assignment, is to bring the word of God nice and clean and clear to people and let people know God is not mad at you. He loves you. He wants you restored. He doesn't want you to continue in sin, but he came here to turn your life around right now. Hallelujah. He goes on further and he says, stop saying, you know, the harvest is going to come. No, 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 no. The harvest is now. It is ready. Don't live in some la-la land thinking it's going to happen tomorrow. No, it's not tomorrow, it's now. Salvation is now. Deliverance is now. Healing is now. Everything God has is for you now. Hallelujah. He stopped for that woman. In Luke 19, the Bible tells us about another stop. This time it was for a man that was sighted but was blind at the same time. Preach a message called The Four Blind Men of Jericho. Most of us only know about blind Bartimaeus. But before Jesus came into Jericho, there were two blind men that he healed. And he comes into town and he sees a man, Zacchaeus. But why did he stop? That's a question you and I need to ask ourselves. Why did he stop here? Well, this man had his issues. He says, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Is that why he stopped? Because he was rich? Let's keep on going. It says in verse 3, watch this. And he sought to see who? Jesus. Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. That's why I call him blind. Because if anybody stands in front of him, he can't see anything. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Jesus was going to pass through this particular pathway, and this man, Zacchaeus, short, hated, ran, risked his life because he had in his mind, I want to see Jesus. And so he climbs up the tree, and when Jesus comes, and believe me, if Zacchaeus climbed up a tree, there were many other trees and there were many other people who climbed trees. But Jesus stopped under the tree of the man who risked everything and really, really, really wanted to see him. Anybody that wants to see Jesus, Jesus stops for. That's why he stopped. When you seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, God stops for you. God stops for people who will not allow the crowd to stomp them out. Because they love to meet with him and do not allow fear of what people will say or do to stop them. Just a few steps later, he's going to stop for blind Bartimaeus. And they were telling blind Bartimaeus, shut up, shut up. And the more they told him to shut up, the more he cried out the louder. Jesus, thou son of David. Amen. He stops for people who want him. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he stopped for people who seek him, who seek after him, he still does the same thing today. Yes. Hallelujah. But many times we seek after so many things. We have no respect or honor for the living God. This is Christmas. And I've said it many times over and over. This Christmas, we are going to give gifts. And that's a good thing. But there are going to be believers who are busy giving gifts and do not honor God with their giving. They spend it somewhere else. Can you imagine that that was your birthday? And people come to your birthday and they say, it's your birthday. Sister Margaret, it's your birthday. Hallelujah. And instead of us giving gifts to you, we start giving it to each other. We share it with each other, and we go home. And you're sitting down there, where's mine? I thought it was my birthday. How do we do stuff like that when the Word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and says, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Everything shall be added unto you. We spend more on ourselves than on God. That's not to make anybody feel badly. It's just the reality. If we were to check our checkbooks, our bank account, where will our monies have gone? How much of it really went to God? Because if God is important to us and his purposes are important to us, we will honor God. We'll make a commitment towards God first before anything else, because we believe that he is a God who truly loves us and wants the best for us. And if we are in agreement with that, then that becomes priority number one. Amen? Hallelujah. So Jesus stops for Zacchaeus. He says, this day, make haste, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. I must stop in your house. I'm stopping at your house. Can God make that commitment to us that he's going to stop at our house? And whose house does he stop at? The people that really want him. If we don't want him, we won't do everything to make sure that we see him. You know, certain people came and they said, we would see Jesus. We will see Jesus. And he says, you won't see Jesus? Except the kernel of wheat dies. It abides alone. You want to see Jesus? He says, it has something to do with dying to yourself so that you can begin to express yourself in a greater dimension. Our faith walk must be real, must be tangible. Amen? Hallelujah. With blind Bartimaeus, he stopped. The crowd said, shut up. And he cried out the louder, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Why is this important to us? Mama read to us from Matthew 1, Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Why is that important? Because God made a promise. And you've heard me say this many times before. God made a promise to David. He said, you'll always have a son on the throne. You will always have a son on the throne. But David's sons began to mess up. And so what does God do? God decides to make himself a son of David so that he can fulfill his promise. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying whatever God needs to do to make certain that whatever commitments he's made to you is honored, he will do it. He will not be a liar. He holds his word above all of his names. No matter how good his name is, he holds his word above it. Because if his word is no good, his name is no good. Let God fulfill his promises towards you. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Who does he stop for? Blind Bartimaeus. Why? The man is crying out loud. Why? Because when he says, bring him to me, the man takes off his license to beg and drops it. Because he decided, I am not going to stay blind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know how he had that tenacity and passion, but it's quite possible Are you ready? That the man that Jesus healed before he stepped into Jericho continued with him and whispered to him, "Hey, man, I used to be blind. This guy just healed me." Huh? The guy that's, And so when the crowd were busy telling him to shut up, the Bible says, but in another passage, it says, and both blind men cried out louder. They drowned the opposition, and Jesus heard it and stopped. What is trying to cause you to shut up? Is it a headache? The leg ache? The back ache? The whatever ache? Is that what's trying to cause you to shut up? Your financial pressure trying to cause you to shut up? Cause you not to believe what God said? No, that's when you get really upset and you do contrary to what your circumstance is trying to tell you to do. Your circumstance says, don't give. You say, say what? Did you say, don't give? I give. Oh, you said, don't give, eh? I give. You're going to be broke. Oh, yeah. Contradict the lies of the enemy. That's what blind Bartimaeus did. And Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? The man says, I want to see. He says, see, that's it. Done. Go home. Hallelujah. Jesus stopped for blind Bartimaeus. In John chapter 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 1 through 9, we read this story. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the ship market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Bethesda just means house of mercy. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he says unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus says unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. This man had been there for 38 years. This man, when he first got there, was excited. Excited about the possibilities of healing. He misses the first year, the second year, the third year, fifth year. Now excitement began to wane. And I'm sure at a particular point he stopped moving. He just stayed there. I'm not going to get there anyway. So why did Jesus stop for this man? Why does he stop for this man? This man here is a man that in the natural seems to be the most unqualified to receive anything. Because even when Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? He was busy giving excuses. And notice Jesus did not listen to his excuses. Jesus just did what needed to be done. Who did Jesus stop for here? Jesus stopped for a man who had been in a situation for such a long time. He needed to go home. Now, this is not the situation we need to find ourselves. This is not the one that we need to herald and jump about. Because he didn't need to stay there for 38 years. You say, why do you say that? Because if he really wanted to get out of that mess, if it is at a particular season, you already for 38 years, you must have known the seasons. And during that time, you should have crawled and stayed by the side of the pool. And when the angel troubled the pool, your hand is inside. And when it didn't get troubled anymore, you are in. Somebody listening? He says, look at this man. He's going to stay here for the next 180 years. I better go solve this problem. So he went and says, you are making me look bad. I troubled that water and troubled it, but you never go there. You are blaming everybody else. Just take up your bed and go home. But the real issue was not really him. You say, what do you mean? The real issue was everybody else that were busy sitting down in their different perches. Still lame, blind, crippled, whatever, sitting there, who knew all these years that the pool had to be troubled by an angel at a particular season, and here comes Jesus. It was not the season. Somebody listening? It was not what? The season. The waters are not being troubled because it was not the season for the waters to be troubled by an angel. And they are busy watching on a man who they knew has been there for 38 years. Is busy carrying his bed and walking off. And they saw Jesus talking to him. And the rest of them did not make a stampede to go grab Jesus and all walk off that day. Because something just happened that doesn't happen. But they're stuck to their traditions. The Word of God says, your traditions have made the Word of God of none effect. Traditions. Making the Word of God of no effect. God came to change the season. Let the season change for you and for me. Let our eyes be focused. Something is happening. Something is happening now that didn't used to happen. God said that the time, the glory for the change of destinies has come to overtake the natural laws, the natural seasons, the natural timings. Mama had a vision many years ago. Now and then I reflect on it. And this morning the Lord is awakening that same vision in my spirit. She said, I saw corn growing out of snow. That is a law that breaks every law, because corn don't grow through snow. Do you understand? Corn grows in summer, in nice warm weather. For corn to grow through snow, that means God is changing everything and saying, it doesn't matter what time, if I decide to bless you, you are blessed. Yeah. Hallelujah. Has God ever spoken a word of blessing into your life? Then, as we said earlier today, it is a now thing. We must not continue to postpone the blessing of God and say, someday, somehow. No. Now. The season has changed. In Mark chapter 9, he's hungry and he's walking towards a tree, a fig tree, expecting to eat something from that tree. In Mark 11, thank you. So he comes to the tree. And the Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto it. Mark 11, let's look at verse 12 through 14 as we begin to wrap. It says, on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he, meaning Jesus, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was what? Not yet. It was not the season for figs. Verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto it. Jesus did what? Answered and said unto it. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Jesus answered and said unto it. Jesus answered. How do you answer something if you're not been asked a question or been commented to? The fig tree was busy telling Jesus, I cannot, because it's not my season. But if Jesus is expecting something from you, he has the ability to make that thing happen through you. It is the language of I cannot that keeps us in the place of I cannot. But if God is asking anything of you, he purposes in himself to manifest that thing through you. That day, Jesus wanted to change the season of that fig tree and cause that fig tree to produce fruit out of the time of season. And I tell you what, if he starts it, it is forever. Yes. Do you understand what I mean? Yes. That means forever that fig tree would have had fruit on it. Oh, you're not listening.
Yes.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
Forever that fig tree would have produced figs, no matter how many times you pluck it, there will always be fruit on it. That is God making the impossible possible, because he changes the seasons of people. Jesus stopped to change the season. He stopped for the man that was impotent to change his story. But you know what happens? When God, this is a place that you and I must not find ourselves. We must not find ourselves in the place of making excuses and giving up. And God comes to help us from that situation. Or a place where God is wanting something from us and we are not willing to shift to bringing it forth. Because those two end up with problems. You say, what do you mean end up with problems? That man for 38 years that was sick, the Bible says Jesus went to him and says, don't sin anymore, lest the worst thing come to you. And the man turns around upset and he goes and tells the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it is this guy. And so they start hunting for Jesus. What do you think happens to a life like that? who, after you've been blessed, now you turn against the one who blessed you because he spoke the truth to you. Only damage can happen to a life like that. Finally, Matthew chapter 21, Matthew 21, beginning to read from verse 12. I'll share this and we'll stop. It says, Jesus went into the temple of God. That's how we started. He went into the temple and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. Say with me, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. And he what? He healed them. The blind and the lame came to him and he healed them. He stops in the temple, cleans it. And the blind and the lame came to him. Now, these were a bunch of people that were not allowed into the temple. Blind people, lame people, leprous people, any kind, they were not allowed inside the temple. And Jesus healed them all. He gave entrance to people that were not allowed to come in. Are you with me so far? Are you with me? But that's not the real story I want to talk to you about. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that there was a man who was 40 plus years old who was laid daily at the beautiful gate. You remember him? This is the guy that Peter and John are going to come to after Jesus is dead and gone. And they said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Question. Jesus was in the temple, healed all the blind and the lame, and he qualifies because he's lame. But on the day that Jesus was there and healing everybody, the man who was laid daily at the beautiful gate, what happened to him? He had a headache, a flu, what? He was not there. He was not there. And so did not get healed. That's when you hop on yourself and believe every lie that the devil has been pronouncing over your life. Because that man in Acts 3 was born that way. And you know, some smart aleck had told him, you must be a bad man. You must be an evil person to be born this way. They already said it about the blind man. Who sinned, the father or the mother? Or this guy? So this guy is there. And now Jesus comes to town, heals every blind person, every lame person, and you've been there every day, but you missed the day that he came. Now that's when you really decide, I must really be bad. I must be a child of the devil. There's no way. Something is wrong with my head. Let me kill myself. But no, the man refused to allow his circumstance to determine what will happen in his life. He kept on going to that beautiful gate. And even when he heard, silver and gold we don't have, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He did not throw stones at Peter and John. He stayed calm, focused. And next thing that happened, as they lifted him up, he walks. Leaps and praises God, not at his house, inside the temple. Why? Because that's where they told him he could never go into. And you know, a religious mind said, God does not love you. A religious mind told him that. I know it. If a woman can have five husbands 2,000 years ago, I know they told him, because in 2018, people will say it right to your face. You must be bad. You must be evil. That's why this bad thing is happening in your life. They told him that. But does God care about that? No. He said, you know what? That man may have missed this opportunity the first time, but I am going to represent myself in my servants. And the first miracle they are going to do is to locate that man and make sure that he's not left behind. The last shall be first. We didn't hear about the other ones walking and leaping and praising God, but we heard about this guy. We heard about this guy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your story shall be told. It shall be a good story, because Jesus will stop for you. In the name of Jesus, rise with me. Heavenly Father, we've seen in your word that you stopped. You made some very strategic stops. You stopped for your word. You stopped to heal a blind man that people thought was blind because of whatever wrong he had practiced, or his parents, because of iniquities. And so, Lord, oh God, today we declare in Jesus' name that you're the God who heals and delivers people from the power of iniquities, that you will stop for every man and every woman, every child in this household of faith. That you will stop, and Lord, oh God, that as you stop, Lord, oh God, that you break the curse of the traditions of iniquity that have plagued lives, whether it be the plague of poverty, sickness, or diseases, any kind of plague, oh God, that have plagued the lives of your sons and your daughters and caused them to continue to live out the pain and the anguish of their fathers. Lord God Almighty, reverse that story now. In the mighty name of Jesus. You stopped to change the season and the times of people. Lord, oh God, stop and change the season of your people and cause it to be a fruitful season. In the mighty name of Jesus. You stopped, oh God, for the blind, to give them sight. Lord, stop and give us sight this day in Jesus' mighty name. You stop for the lepers and cleanse them of their leprosy. God, stop and cleanse us of every form of leprosy in Jesus' mighty name. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You stopped at a wedding to turn a marriage around, to cause a marriage which was experiencing lack, for their wine had run out. You turned around and you backed up time for them, and you reversed their situation, and you caused the better to flow into their lives. Let your best, oh God, flow into us now. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We declare with one voice in this house this day, our season has changed
to the glory of God.
We are fruitful.
We multiply.
We dominate
to the glory of God.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah.
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 Receive your healing
now.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.